James chapter 1 verse 26 to 27, and I shall read these two verses. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen.
Let us turn to our text. The text here is in James chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. Right? We know in James is a very practical book. In fact, so practical that, you know, some of the people, you know, our historical forefathers that have gone before us, some of them would not even accept it as part of canon of Holy Scriptures. They say the stress is so much on works. But even like today, after I'm going back, I'll be studying on the book of James, because in our adult Bible class, we are doing a series on the book of James. It's very, very practical. And I thank God also, one of our members rang up and told me, thank God for preparing my heart as I take on this new job, because I realized I had to struggle, right, with people around me and with the world. It is true, our Christian life is a life of struggle. Yes, we have God's word with us. James exhorted his fellow brethren concerning hearing, receiving the engrafted word, and then to obey and be not just a hearer, right, but a doer of the word. In short, be a practicing Christian whose life is based upon biblical truth and biblical principles. But here in our context, James gave us a practical checklist, right? How to effectively live for the Lord, how to focus our life, what determines the mark of true religion. Okay? If we say we have faith, then it must impact our life, it must affect our life, it must transform our life. Right? Romans 12 says what? Be transformed, be renewed. Right? We are new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in here I want to deal with three areas. What are the marks of true religion? First of all, the control of the tongue. We see that in verse 26, right? If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart. Yes, the tongue can deceive us. The heart can deceive us as well, right? The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And it's what is of the heart you pour out through our lips. And so this is very, very important, control of the tongue. That's the first thing. Second one is care for the needy, right? Pure religion and undefiled before God in verse 27, and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Right? And the third point I want us to see is a consecrated life. We must keep ourselves, like verse 27 says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. If these three things are not present, then we better check our own lives, you and I. Are we truly in the Lord? Are we truly a regenerate person? James went on subsequently to say that the tongue is an unruly evil. Is that true? Well, we say words can heal and comfort, words can kill. Many people would say, right, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words don't hurt me. So what's the big deal? You can say all you like. Right? My deacon tells me, if you don't want to be angry, nobody can make you angry. What do you think? Is that true? It takes two to clap. If you don't want to clap, you don't make that sound, so what? Have you heard the sound of one hand clapping? Never. Right? But is it true? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words don't hurt me. No, words hurt, of course. But it can heal, it can comfort. Our presence can comfort. For example, a bereaved family, just by being present, they are comforted that you were there to share with them in this moment. Very, very difficult when they are afflicted, when a loved one is taken away. It's not easy. By your presence, by just a word of comfort, a short prayer to them. A word can kill. I read some time ago in China, they have a one-child policy, right? So first child, second child. This lady happened to have a third child. Snide remarks went on, comments, gossip, and outright abuse. You know what happened? She fell into depression, despair. To stop everything, she killed the lady. It's a reality. It was in the papers. I don't know, some of you might have read it. Words can heal. And in order to stop those hurting words, she killed. She took her own baby's life. Can you ever imagine that? That's the wickedness of men. That's how much, to what extent, these words can hurt and torment the soul. The fruit of the womb is a blessing of the Lord. And you cause that to happen. That's terrible. Terrible. Right. The control of the tongue. Why is it so? Right. So the question is this. If any man among you seem to be religious, it's conditional. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And we continue not to guard our tongues, we are in trouble. That's why the psalmist prays. How did the psalmist pray? Psalm 141, verse 3. What does it say? Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. How much misunderstanding, hurt, and pain have been created just by our words, right? An old pastor was with his wife driving along, and you know, as an old pastor, he would just drive along on the side of the road. He was with his wife, and suddenly a car zoomed by, cut into his lane, and zoomed the other way. But a man of God was provoked. What did he do? In those days, he wound down the window and then he stretched off his hand and said, I see where you are. That means he raised the cursor. You want to die? You know, die fast, you know, and be finished and done with. It is how, when we are provoked, how do we react? And the poor wife beside him was so shocked. How can a man of God rain a curse upon this driver? Lady, a pastor went off, her neighbor, and then he loaned me the car. And so today also I drove, but I got into a jam. Usually I try to start early, so that our chairman will not be anxious. But you see, I was so anxious. Thankfully, nobody cut into my path, or I would have done probably the same thing. You see, the thing is that, oh, we can listen here, you know, and say, hey, that's fine. I will. But the time is when we are tested. And that's where we have to really guard ourselves. Right? So, it is very, very important. Let us, therefore, be careful how we act. And more importantly, how we react. We are very, very fast. Okay? Watch our walk with the Lord, but also watch our talk with our fellow men. An uncontrolled tongue is a mark of an unregenerate heart. And so it is true. James chapter 1 verse 19, just a few verses up there, it says what? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The Malay say plan. Go slow. But it's not us. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 to 32 tells us very clearly that as Christians, we are not to let Paul in Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. But very often our words are not gracious, right? Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. God is grieved. Our testimony is lost. By the way, we speak out of our own heart. Right? So, verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Isn't it true? It's very, very sad. By just mere words, we lose our testimony. Okay? Second point I want us to make, the second C, is care for the needy. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Why the focus on care for the fatherless and widows? The context is that during that time, those times, right, these were the group of people in the churches that were most neglected. And it's even true today. Do you think so? Because there'll be the big gathering of people to help out, to comfort the bereaved families, members, and all that. There'll be visitations. But after a little while, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, everything is forgotten. You think time heals the hurt? It may be. But memory will bring back the hurt. There are still people hurting after some while. They need the comfort. They need the communion of saints. They need our love and our fellowship. A word of inquiry, a little note, you know, telling the person, I'm praying for you, will bring much comfort. Are there any struggling? You see, the reason why when the fatherless and the widows, because the decision maker is taken away. The head of the home is taken away. So where do these people look to? It's very, very hard. We must lend that kind of support. Right? There's no direction or decision maker for the first time in the family. And remember how Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and religious leaders of his time for being hypocrites. And one of the things they practiced was to take advantage of these widows and orphans and fatherless. Alright? Let's look at Luke chapter 20, just two verses from there, verses 46 to 47. This was the woe that the Lord pronounced on the Pharisees. Beware of the scribes in Luke 20, verse 46. Which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seat in the synagogue and the chief rooms at feast. Who are these people? Religious people. Godly people. Don't they care? No, they care for themselves. Pride of faith, because they dress to impress and then to be addressed, Rabbi, Rabbi, oh yes. Look, I'm walking here. This is like holy ground. You know? Like a soldier, you have to salute an officer when he goes by, right? If you're in uniform, right? And then pride of place. Look at that. They love the chief rooms at feast. Right? They like the Chinese red table. They go and sit at the red table. And if somebody says, sorry, you better go elsewhere. You know? What a shame. Right. Verse 47. Which devour what? Widows' houses. And for sure make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. Maybe they go down there and say, hey, maybe you can downgrade, you know. And then they make a fast buck out of that. It's terrible. It's sad. We must extend special care to these needy people. Right? Bereavement must come to everyone somehow. Someday. Right? So those left behind need our special comfort. So it is very, very important. Even in my experience, a man in his prime, family, with three young children, taken away, suddenly died of a heart attack. Close to 40, not even 40. The wife was left devastated. She doesn't even know how many bank accounts she maintained. She doesn't even know how to pay her bills. She doesn't even know how to drive because she has been driving the car, although she had a license. She has a license. How do we minister? Get into the car. Show her how to drive all over again with gears and all those things. And then cars go jerking and all that. Thankfully, I didn't buy additional insurance. You know, subsequently went on the road. It's not easy when you leave off driving for so many years because your husband has taken away your job. All the time he's driving everybody around. Three young children. What can one do but to help out? And so this is true. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Today is not just the widows, the orphans, the fatherless, right? But any needy in our midst would like a helping hand, a word of comfort, a little encouragement, a little prayer. Maybe a student struggling in the exams. Maybe an FEBC student trying to adapt here, still after one semester cannot do it. You know, right? Struggling with certain projects for new students. I know because I've encountered that before. We all need help some way, somehow. But did help come our way? I hope so. There are many needy. There are many lonely people. Visit some of the housing estates and you know, they sit at the void deck, sun up, sun down, sun up, sun down. Breakfast, after that, sit down. Go upstairs, come down. Lunch, come down. Can we reach them with the gospel? Can. Talk to them. They are needy. Their souls are still there. They need God as well. Where are the people? See them? Do we talk to them? They are your neighbors, our neighbors, my neighbors, your neighbors. And so it's important. Who is my neighbor? The question was posed to Jesus. And he, in return, related the story of the Good Samaritan. Did the priest help? Did the Levites help? No. The Good Samaritan is the one that helped. May the Lord use us as a channel of blessing to someone today. Right? True religion is marked by a consecration of our lives. Look at verse 27. To keep himself unspotted from the world. It's very, very difficult for the Christian. It's very hard. As I related to you, this member of mine struggling right now because he adapted to this new job and a lot of things. happened make him to compromise his faith? No way. The boss was quite angry with him, but thankfully he said, my fellow colleagues supported me. Somehow, somewhere help would come if we stand true to the Lord, right? So the new nature in us generates a spirit of controlled consciousness that we are different from our fellow men, right? How can we remain pure and untarnished when we rub shoulders with them every day? Their value system, our value system, very different. Very difficult, right? But somehow, sometimes you are attracted to their ungodly lifestyle. Hey, they went enjoying themselves, that they are going to this, and they are going to that, and then where am I? I'm going for prayer meeting. Very difficult. But you stand. A young man once shared with me, he said, Pastor, I have a very difficult struggle. I say, why? You know, I was on this industrial attachment and was in this company. And after that, some of my colleagues say, hey, let's go to a karaoke. No, I don't go to karaoke. I don't, you all drink beer and all that, liquor, I don't. Say, never mind, go there, just sit with us, you know, and then just drink an orange. And say, after so many times of refusal, one day he decided to, okay, let's go, you know, for, you know, togetherness. He went. Then thereafter, he started to give excuses. Sorry, I have to go to my auntie's house for dinner. Sorry, I visit my grandmother. You know? And then one day, there's another new worker coming in. And they wanted to what? Get him as well and say, hey, join us. He says, sorry, I can't join you. Why? Oh, I'm a Christian. Never mind. First time, second time, third time. He kept turning them down because he says, he doesn't want to go because I'm a Christian. I don't want to compromise my faith. He says, Pastor, I should have on the initial tell them that I don't go. Now I have to visit my grandma, I have to ring up my auntie, can you cook for me so I can go there? It's very, very terrible. Right? You cook up excuses and you create, you know, you occupy the time when they ask you to go, you know? That's terrible. If we do not compromise to the world, then we are safe. Then we don't have to make all kinds of excuses for our actions. We have a reason behind. The reason is I honor God. Right? And so out there, where the Lord has placed you, you are to be light, you are to be salt. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say to his disciples? Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What did the Lord Jesus Christ tell us in John chapter 15? Without me, ye can do nothing. Is the Lord with us? Do we go every day to God in prayer? Pray without ceasing. For that's where we develop the sensitivity of the Spirit work in our life. Pray without ceasing. Adopt that attitude. Guard our own hearts. Guard our tongue. Guard our relationship, especially to the needy. Attend to their needs. We cannot do everything for them. We can speak a word of comfort. If we can do an act of grace for them, thank God. I have a car. I bring a handicapped lady to church. That's wonderful. Right? But we can't pray for the person, inquire after the person. Isn't that good? And so truly, our lives are renewed each day. Watch our communion with the Lord. The spiritual duties. Plan to pray or else plan to fail. Because if our relationship with God is not there, it's very, very hard to go on the level plane. the spiritual must come. That is foundational. Then can we relate. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is spirit. Thy word is life. Challenge us afresh, that what we hear will truly be used by thy Holy Spirit to convict our hearts, to renew our lives, to cause us to reflect upon what thou hast laid down for us in thy perfect, infallible, inerrant word. And pray thou will grant us that grace, that determination, Lord, to put all that we have heard into practice. For obedience will bring blessing. And we ask and seek thy blessing upon each one of us who have come before thee this morning. And be with us even as we come before thy table. And Lord, may thou minister unto each one of us. For we ask these things, giving thee thanks in Jesus' most blessed and worthy name. Amen.